Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Full Spectrum Unleashed, where anything goes. I am Matt, and with me as always is the crazy asshole Dennis. What's going on, dude?
Not much at all, brother. You notice, though, I did catch the unmute in time, so we didn't sit there with some dead air space, and it actually played up like it should do, right? You caught that shit, right?
Yes, I did. I definitely did catch that shit, and, you know, I have to say, you were spot on on time on that, so, awesome.
That's because I fucking rock, dude. Come on. Welcome to Full Spectrum Unleashed, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be our pregame show for the one-year anniversary of Full Spectrum Radio on Wednesday night. So tonight, who knows what the hell we're going to do. I know I'm pre-gaming already. I have my wonderful friend Jack with me, Mr. Daniels, that is. Hey, didn't he, come to think of it, he already was with us once before, I do believe.
It puts the lotion on his skin or else it gets, fucking, you know.
You prick. Hey, you know, the one thing I do have to say is I have to give a shout-out to our friend Paul, who was on last Wednesday. He's a phenomenal guest, phenomenal person at events. He did send us a couple of the little sound bites. I'm going to play the Freddy one for you that he sent, and I definitely just have to say thank you to him for this one and the other two that he sent, too. So it was... definitely means a lot to Dennis and I, and here it is.
Getting nightmares? Then you're not listening to Full Spectrum Radio, the best radio on the planet.
Damn straight, Freddy.
But, hey, if you guys want to find him, and I look him up on Facebook, it's Freddy versus Jason. That's with a I-E-N with a Y in Jason. Oh, I see. Oh, I just got your note here, Matt. Remember, this is a short version. Go, Mike's hot, at least on me now. Okay, I got you covered, buddy.
Well, hey, I just wanted to put it out there since last time. You're like, oh, shit, I didn't know it was ending that quick.
Yeah, well, this time I actually sat and watched the counter, and I'm like, I'm not going to miss it this time. Fortunately, I didn't start into a damn coughing fit and miss it anyway, but what the hell. But, yeah. So I have a couple of things I want to bring up. Anybody that's familiar with this place called Patient First, if you're ill and you're just looking for somewhere to go and die of old age, great place, man. Went in tonight. I registered. Now, those that heard me last Wednesday, you know, occasionally I'd start coughing and hacking, and I sound like somebody has shoved a garden hose up my nostrils. I finally decided, which, you know, it's uncommon and uncharacteristic for me to go to any doctor. Well, I decided to go into patient first tonight. It's the, you know, daylight to dark doc in a box thing. They registered me in. Took them 15 minutes, I guess, to call me up for that and register me. I'm like, cool, this might not go bad. However, an hour and a half later, I'm still sitting there, and, well, needless to say, I'm still sniffling. I'm still coughing and hacking. They didn't do shit because they never called me back. Finally, I went over and told them I'd rather go die of old age somewhere else. Thanks. Have a good night. So, yeah, patient first. Great place to go in sick and die of old age.
Are you sure that you read the sign correctly?
Well, it might have said cadavers first, but I'm pretty quick on my English and spelling and so forth. So,
no,
I
was wondering if you got a little confused if it wasn't patients first.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to have a lot of patience. But no, they actually spelled it patience. Yeah. No, apparently I'm not very. I sat, you know, in an hour and 45 minutes, all I did do, well, apparently from like 2 years ago, yeah, 2.5 years ago when I fell off a ladder and fractured my heel that those dumbasses said I just bruised myself, I had a balance left on that. So I paid them $100 to sit in their waiting room for an hour and 45 minutes. Thank you.
Well, maybe that's why they didn't see you, is because they're like, oh, well, he's not going to pay this bill anyway.
I paid the damn thing.
You'd be surprised
no
how much that...
They're just that yeah. damn slow.
I'll say, you'd be surprised how much that shit matters if you go into a place and you still have an outstanding balance, that you're basically last on the list because they figure you're not going to pay for it.
Well, here's the thing. I gave them my insurance card and everything else. Why does it keep telling me that you've messaged me? You haven't messaged me. Stop. Facebook, get your shit together. I know. He messaged me. I looked at it. We're good. Hey, there it goes. Thank you. God.
For a change, it's
anyway.
Not Blog Talk fucking up.
Yeah, well, then knock on wood. That's subject to happen yet. But, hey, I do have one I want to pick on. Our buddy Chris Dedman pointed it out on one of his comments, and I'm actually going to quote him if I can find it here. It's a kind of long one, but bear with me, because it is worthy of being put out there. The show Ghost State equals putting clients in harm equals stupidity, period. No offense, folks, but I got your attention, didn't I? For those that have not seen this dangerous out-of-control show, let me just say it has a lot of people who are true investigators in this field in an outrage. I am one. I've watched one episode, and it absolutely pissed me off. The team Paracore takes family members and puts them in the room of highest activity to face their fears in the home. Now, for the family member that is really afraid, they put them in the room with a burlap bag over their head to face the spirit and overcome the fear they have. Well, this show originally started out as an internet show that made it to the Bio Channel. Again, Bio Channel, please get your shit together. This ain't right. By the way, that was ad lib on my part. The thing that makes me upset the most is they're putting these people in harm's way and see no wrong. See, if the family faces the fear that turns out to be a demon, then what? Because what they have just done is caused this family a lifetime of battling something that has no mercy. Play with fire and you will get burned. As I sit and read emails that I get daily from families that are dealing with things beyond anyone's imagination, and they all say the same thing. How teams that claim to be professional and experienced came to investigate and did nothing more but cause more problems and left the family holding the bag. Most of whom came in and investigated exactly the way they have seen someone on a TV show do it. So I guess we now get to look forward to these quote-unquote professional teams going in and playing the clapping game and making the client wear a burlap bag over their head. Yes, someone will actually do it. And, Chris, I can't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form, brother. If you're listening, I did put a invite to you on that comment to please join us. I'm about as pissed off at this show as you are, my friend. Have you watched this thing yet, Matt?
Well, Dennis, and that's what I was going to go back and say is when you said the name of the show, it cut out. Which was the show you're talking about?
Oh, Ghost Bait.
I have not seen Ghost Bait. I know right now on bio is my ghost story caught on camera, which I'm going to get into that in a second. But then afterwards is Stalked by a Ghost, which I don't know if you'd seen that one or not, which I'm kind of on the fence about that. But no, from what Chris was, I've not seen nor actually heard about Ghost Bait, to be honest.
So I actually sat and watched one episode of this piece of crap. Bio is wasting valuable airtime on something that could be more valuable, more educational, and not so damn sensationalistic, which is all they're after. Like he said, they take the most afraid member of the family, they put a burlap bag over their head and put them in the room that seems to give off or seems to have the most paranormal activity in it, so the family member can, quote-unquote, face their fear. You know, that's wonderful, but are you stupid? Why would you? And then they don't do anything afterwards. The family has gone in and, quote-unquote, faced their fear, and that's where it sits. End of story, basically. They don't do a damn thing to help. It absolutely terrifies me. What the hell can go wrong with this? I kind of equate it to driving a motorcycle at extremely high speed down the highway with your lights out, dressed all in black, on a black motorcycle.
With a burlap sack over your head.
What can possibly go wrong? Sure, with a tinted lens on your visor. What could possibly go wrong? You dumb sons of bitches.
Well, all right, I'm going to do a pro and con thing on this. The con of it is everything that we've been talking about. The pro about it, in a way, and I am not advocating the support of this show whatsoever or anything. I can maybe possibly understand what they're attempting to do, and this is by the thinnest fucking thread of the imagination, is they're attempting to have that member of the family or the whole family or whatever get empowered by hoping that something major doesn't happen and they're not going to be as terrified because they're boosting that family's confidence, if you will. That we can handle this, we don't need anybody. I can see it from that perspective, but like I said, by the thinnest fucking thread of the imagination. We're talking half of a human hair's thickness here, is the amount of faith I'm putting behind that rationalization. But, do you see where I'm coming from, though, on that? Like, maybe that's the goal, but it's not portrayed correctly?
To a small extent.
Like I said, I'm talking half a human hair here.
Well, it still terrifies me in the fact that, you know, there is so much that can go wrong that they are not even considering, looking at, pondering. Like Terry said, it's all production and ratings, and they're not taking the safety and everything of the people into consideration.
Well, here's the other fucked up thing about it, too, is with what Chris was talking about, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. Some dumb son of a bitch is going to watch that and think it's a good idea and attempt it.
Well, that's the scary thing. You know, some little backwoods jackass team, they're going to go, you know what? They managed to get a TV show out of this. So we can get a TV show if we do something similar. And it's all fine and dandy until such time as some poor family is just completely screwed by what has occurred.
Well, no, I won't even go that far as you know, a team looking at it as trying to get a TV show and all that shit. What I'm looking at is the ones who use all these production shows as they're investigating 101 or ghost hunting 101, or, you know, they look at these shows like they're not for entertainment value. This is how the shit's done. Because I've ran across people like that too, and it's really scary that they'll actually get into that situation and put themselves and a completely naive family of what's going on in the paranormal world. Anybody can create a website. I mean, shit, look at Wix and, you know, GoDaddy's like $2. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams that'll do a website and don't have the first idea of what I can't even say protocol because everything is different, but a procedure to where you're there to do what you're going to do and don't step outside of your boundaries, because that's fucked up and you're just going to mess up people.
But there's still safety that has to be taken into account, no matter how you look at it, whether it's a team that doesn't have protocol or not. Even a team of newbies should have at least the common sense to utilize safety. Setting in somebody that has absolutely no training or intelligence in the paranormal into a field like that, bag them and leave them in a room by themselves is, I can't even find it logical. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make logic to me. To me, it's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, there's nothing behind that in rational thought should seem like a good idea, especially if it's somebody who is a vested investigator that in private residences. You're a fucking idiot at that point. I'm sorry, but you really are.
Yeah, I mean, I try to conduct my investigations with the homeowner or the resident of the home out. That way, if anything does go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, they're not there to see what the hell actually went on. And then it's my turn to try to fix that and deal with the spirit and try to figure out, you know, how I can smooth shit over. I mean, now, I have a benefit in the fact that, you know, I have some talents, I guess. But I at least have the right phone numbers that I can call to help me get through a situation like that.
Yeah, well, Dennis, I don't know if you saw funny that Chris should post that up, and I had posted something yesterday just before 10 p.m. I don't know if you had seen it or not. But my post is, I hate to say it, but one of the reasons we look like a joke in the paranormal that are not self-inflicted, I said, I can tell you, in my opinion, movies like Paranormal Activity, Paranormal Entity, I'm watching a horrible one right now called The Apparition. No wonder why we have to justify ourselves all the time. And dude, you should see the feed on this. I'm not going to, you know, name names or anything, but, excuse me one second. Are you sending your throat shit through the phone or what?
Well, of course. I told you I do have some talents.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Paul. And well, and then you have the shows that all portray different things, and I'm not going to say who this is, but now Joshua Warren and Paramorbius were a part of that. The thing to remember is that we do our part in other ways and put together is a, and the way it's put together is another part. It goes out of our hands as soon as it goes into production, sad but true. Dennis, we know that's completely true. Plus, there is almost three quarters of a book of what a couple of people have written, so I'm trying to read the shorter ones. It says, what's sad is they never portray the times where there is absolutely no activity. Our dear friend, SG, you know that one. I want to see a movie that actually scares me, not one that I can pick apart. This is the reason doctors don't watch ER. I guess if you're an investigator, and then these movies may be interesting, but for me, give me monsters. And I said, I agree. So-and-so wants to make a movie using people that I know. I said I'm in. He said he's in. And so we can call it paranormal inactivity. 10 seconds of holy shit for 9 hours of work. And there was a good one. I'm trying to scroll. There's a lot of comments on this. Oh, here you go. I just wish someone would say it. Come on, Ghost Adventures, and admit, hey, sometimes we strike out. And it's staggering how many people say, yeah, that ain't going to happen. And it's respected people who work in, this is why I'm not bringing up names, respected people who work in the paranormal field and are in the paranormal field on TV production or behind the scenes with TV production. So, dude, you gotta go on that post and read some of the shit and who's writing it, because it's pretty staggering.
No doubt in my mind. Now, I know that, you know, we had, and I forget exactly who said it, but it was one of the team members that we've all watched on TV said that it's about 70 hours of production and work and everything else that goes into that 23 minutes or so of us actually watching an episode. So it makes me wonder, you know, on shit like this one, you know, with Ghost Bait, what the hell? How, you know, okay, we may see them in that room for 5 minutes, but how long are they actually in that room under that burlap sack before we see them strip that sack off their head, which is part of what they, you know, once the client or, you know, the most freaked out family member gets to a point, they finally just yank the damn hat off their head, the burlap bag, and then it goes into quote-unquote review. What the hell is there a review? I just did not like it. I thought it was the dumbest damn show. And the dumbest damn principle, it just pissed me off. And the whole thing that I was concerned about was going right back to, you know, if you go in, all right, well, let's say that you have a little brother and you go in and you kick the bully in the nuts and then leave. What happens to your little brother when you leave him behind? The bully's going to kick his ass. Well, if you have an active location that some jackass team comes in and basically just kicks the spirits in the nuts and then leaves, it just leaves the little brother, or in this case the family and the client, sitting there figuring out what the hell to do by themselves. It's just a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, let's take the paranormal out of this. Like, completely. It has nothing to do with paranormal, just a real-life situation. For what's being done on that show, if the, like I said, I haven't seen it, but I'm going off of what Chris and you were telling me about it. If they're taking somebody, putting them in a darkened room with a burlap sack over their head with absolutely no idea what is going to happen, Dude, our own military doesn't allow that for captive hostages because it's inhumane. And that's an enemy. You can't do that unless it's an interrogation process, but you have to get clearance from superiors and all that stuff in the military to be able to do that. I couldn't take somebody who I thought had information without somebody giving me an okay and just walking in and putting them in a terrifying situation and scaring the shit out of them with no signed documents. And it is technically a form of torture. How is that, like, seriously, how is that valid to be able to do? And they put it on fucking TV for entertainment? Seriously? Are you there? We lose you.
No, I had a damn coughing fit, hit mute, and forgot to unmute myself. I'm a dumbass.
Oh, we know that.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Laugh, asshole. Laugh. Laugh.
Yeah, don't play the fucking clip. But do you understand what I'm saying, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Geneva Code of Convention says that we have to treat prisoners of war in a certain respectful way.
Yeah, do you remember years ago?
Yet they're putting on TV bullshit that's going against what the Geneva Code of Convention says we can't do to somebody that wants to kill us. And they're doing it to a client that is looking for their
help.
It's asinine.
Do you remember years ago those soldiers that got in trouble for taking pictures and which it was completely inhumane? When they were stripping the Iraqis down or, you know, the Taliban members or whatever down nude and taking pictures of them. And
down at Guantanamo.
Yeah, besides the nudity, what the fuck is the difference?
Any time that you strip a human's humanity away is wrong.
So, Dennis, if we got a call, you and Virginia or me in Chicago, we got a call from somebody saying that they were terrified and they really, really needed help, would that even be close in your mind whatsoever as a course of action to attempt?
The burlap bag?
The whole situation that is that they're putting people in.
Well, the burlap bag would come to mind, but damn sure not for the client. It would probably be for, you know, assholes that I know personally, not this field. You know what I mean? Hey, Bob, come with me. We got a great place to go check out.
Yeah.
What's the burlap bag for? Shut up, Bob. It's really cool. Come with me.
This is how we do it.
You're not ever taking your lunch money, are you? Dennis, you're not really over me taking your lunch money as a kid, are you? No, Bob, hell, I'm way past that. You know, they're saying there's kitchen knives flying across the room at this place. You need to come with me.
Here, put this bag on.
Follow me. Yeah, for the bag, it's said to draw spirits.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to collect evidence on this one.
It's an evidence facial cloak.
we're trying an experiment to see if the spirits can actually identify who they want to terrify. And don't mind the big, you know, bullseye note on the back. That's irrelevant also.
Oh, we're all going to be wearing them. No, it's just when, as you hear the footsteps run out the door and the door closed. You know, all right, as far as the, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. Dude, as far as the pregame show for Wednesday's show, dude, how much shit have we, like, how much have we experienced? How much were we able to experience? How much, like, stuff has happened in the past year that you will never forget?
That I will never forget?
Yeah, because of Full Spectrum Radio.
Full Spectrum Radio. Oh, the program that we're on. Yeah, now, so you're asking me shit, and I can't remember what the hell I ate for breakfast, dude. God, it took me a minute to remember what Full Spectrum Radio was.
And everybody else.
No, I'm just kidding with you. We have had some amazing guests on. We've learned some amazing shit about the production that goes on. We've learned some amazing shit about just people's lives in general. I don't know, man. I mean, there's been so much that has gone on, and hopefully on Wednesday night's program, we can get some of those past guests that have joined us and made this past year so worthwhile. Hopefully we can get them to come back on and share a couple of good laughs with us.
Well, I've been in the works with that today and trying to get the one thing I do want to get, and I know, Dennis, you weren't around for this, but you were as a listener, but not along with me, is I want to for sure get the very, very first guest that we ever had on. And then a lot of the other people progressively throughout time just to, you know, pop in and say hi, whatever. So I'm definitely working on that.
Who was the very first guest?
You know what? To sound like a son of a bitch, I'm sorry to say that I don't remember off the top of my head, and I'm waiting for the response to the website that Sarah had started under Wix for Full Spectrum Radio, because that list is still there. So, but she's been busy doing a bunch of things that we'll talk about later, but I want to get that because I know at the drop of a hat, I can get whoever was the first guest for the year show.
Well, and even if not, I'm sure we can get a bunch of the other guests that we've had throughout the year. Just some amazing people that we've had throughout the year. We've had authors, we've had movie stars, we've had TV personalities, we've had law enforcement. Oh, speaking of law enforcement, I'm going to change gears. I actually saw a thing that, like, poked across my Facebook. Apparently, you live in an absolutely shit state, dude, because now the governor is even debating bringing in the National Guard or the state police to help with your, the Chicago street-level crime.
Yeah,
I figured out what I'm going to buy you for Christmas, brother. I was thinking that I would buy you, like, some cool, great piece of, paranormal technology or something of that value. I've decided, no, I need to send you body armor and a burlap bag just for shits and giggles. I'm not sure which one you'll use more.
I figured after this that the burlap bag was going to be something that was going to be in the gift basket.
Well, sure, so, sure. I think it would help you get closer to the spirits. You just won't know it.
What, are you going to send a bottle of Vox?
Oh, yeah, that one got you a lot closer to the spirits. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Yeah, that one definitely worked. But, hey, I'm going to do a promo if I can find it real quick, just because I think it is so awesome. Let me see.
Talking about the Joker?
There he is. Here we go. I love this one. I love the laugh at the end of it. And, Paul, again, kudos to you, brother.
Don't joke around. Listen to Full Spectrum Radio, and you'll get a smile on your face.
He is so damn spot on with that laugh. I just absolutely love it. Absolutely. But
well, and for everybody, if you're tuning in later, whatever, that was Paul. We had him on last Wednesday. He does Freddy Krueger. He does the Joker. But he does the Jack Nicholson Joker, not the Heath Ledger Joker. But he also does a damn good Heath Ledger Joker also. That's a tongue twister.
Yes, try that one three times fast, Matt. Come on. Come on.
That ain't going to happen.
Do you need your fangs in for this one?
So fuck.
Oh, my God. Dude, I thought I was going to pee myself. Bruce, are you listening? Bruce, buddy, we love you. And Matt's going to hate me in just a moment.
As always.
Here you go, Bruce.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
I just love that one.
I'm never going to fucking live this down.
Well, no. For shit's sake, you let me put a recorder in your face and you did that same fucking clip repeatedly. How could I ever let you live that shit down? Dude, you had me on my knees laughing my ass off with tears rolling down my face.
Yes, and fortunately, the laugh, and here's karma getting him back. The laughing you hear in the background and then the thud is Dennis falling off the bed. Because
yes.
I had him laughing so hard. No, the first one where it's, fuck. Like, no, that one was with, all right, I'm going to come clean here. The one that was just played was after Dennis and I were bombarded by a bunch of spirits.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah, I mean, there was ectoplasm all over the place, going down our throats, and
Hey, go easy now.
That,
now you're starting to make it sound a little
gay.
Perverted.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to clarify, but I mean, Vox Vodka was my problem that night, and Dennis's was Jack and Coke, and wiped the fuck out energy-wise. Like, it was, that was, you know, Parafest was awesome, with the exception of what we get maybe 7 hours of sleep from Friday to Sunday.
Maybe. And then I still
yeah.
had to drive from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to take you back to airport, Dulles in D.C., and then had to drive my happy ass home, which... Ladies and gentlemen, I do understand why they say driving tired may be worse than driving drunk. I was hallucinating shit. I was watching sheep jump the fence, and I was literally counting sheep as I drove down the road. So what do? Being the genius that I am, I drop the windows, and I crank my stereo up. Now, Matt, would you like to define what it's like when I crank my stereo up?
It's pretty damn loud. As long as you weren't stopping on the highway and doing four-wheel turbo launches in your big-ass truck, which is pretty awesome also.
Yeah, it's pretty much the equivalent of a concert hall. Nobody can sleep in a concert, and you can't sleep in my truck if I choose not to let you. So, yeah, that was overall one of the most exhausting weekends I've had in months. But it was also one of the greatest weekends I've had in probably years. One, I got to hang out with my buddy. Two, I got to hang out with a shit ton of my very dear friends. So it was a great time all around.
And we made a shit ton of new ones, too.
Oh, most definitely. And I got, you know, fucking awesome stuff like
this. It puts the lotion on skin or else it gets fucking, you know.
That is the chief one.
Fuck it.
That one, Dennis and I were stone sober. It's before we went to the party. And I had my vampire fangs in, the ones with the wax that actually mold your teeth and all that stuff. Yeah, no, the label is wrong. You cannot speak well. You cannot eat in them. So,
and they would probably, what did you say they did? Deteriorated in, what, an hour, hour and a half?
Oh, dude, those, you know what? Those I've had, I'm trying to remember when I actually made those, which I can understand. You spend $20, you're not looking for the highest quality of anything, but those lasted up until Parafest from, I want to say, probably 2008 or 9. So they did last a while.
Oh, now, see, you didn't explain to me that they were recycled.
Oh, yeah. I when I was working haunted houses, like not haunted houses in paranormal activity haunted houses, but the fake ones that you go to on Halloween to get scared by real people. That was
not the burlap bag kind of haunted house.
No, not the burlap bag. No, where there's, like, animatronics and all that kind of stuff popping out at you and, you know, people walking around crowds and all that shit. So, that's when I had, yeah, it was 2008. That's when those were created. So, I don't really put any negativity towards the manufacturer because they lasted a long damn time. From 8 to break in 2013, and it's wax and plastic, kudos.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you a kudos on that one. But Terry has her dinner of champions, apparently, beer and ice cream. So kudos to you, Terry, on a wonderfully nutritious dinner. By the way, I'm seeing that in chat, folks. If you're not in chat, you're probably going, what the hell is he talking about? But, all right, so what else do you want to hit on tonight? Because so far I've knocked the hell out of Patient First for Piss Poor Service. We've dogged the hell out of Ghost Bait. Dumbass show that is. Bio Channel, by the way, you should be ashamed. I realize that you're, like, you know, sluts for ratings and all, but Ghostbait really needs to be yanked. That one's just putting people in harm's way and shouldn't be done. Let's see. I have slammed Illinois for potentially needing to bring in the National Guard or state police to help patrol the streets. I got an idea. I will actually throw some kudos at the city of Chicago. They managed to surpass the city of Detroit in the murder rate. How's that? See, I can bring out positives, too.
Well, with that said, pretty much the city of Detroit, if you compare populations, obviously, anybody's going to overtake Detroit in murder rate. Detroit, it's five people versus 5 billion. Of course, yeah. That, like, there's a dude sitting out there now by the city of Detroit's population sign has turned into a fucking chalkboard.
Oh, they were used to a chalkboard.
I thought
he was still using little numbers and a stick pin, but.
Ooh, and speaking of Detroit, Eminem's original house off of 8 Mile is going up for auction. So if you are a true diehard Eminem fan, you can own the house that he lived in. Which I believe it's Thursday it's going up for auction.
Well, you would probably have to kick out the few crackheads and vagrants, but you can still own the house that Eminem grew up in, which you would think that, you know, he would want to, but, well, he's not completely retarded. He doesn't want to be in Detroit either.
No. Most of the population of Detroit is down to the football team, the Lions, and that's pretty much about all that's left. No, it's
so if you're offended by this and you would like to call in and you are from Detroit, live in Detroit, grew up in Detroit, feel free. You can call in and join us mocking Detroit, or if by some strange chance you have some way to defend Detroit, feel free to call in. I will say this slowly because I don't want to blow it right past you. 323-580-5703. 323-580-5703. If you have any comments on anything that we've talked about, including Ghost Bait, Detroit, Chicago bringing in the National Guard, perhaps, or the state police, or just, hell, Vox Vodka, Jack Daniels, burlap bags. What the hell? Call in and join us. Let's see where we can take this program. I think we've, you know, pretty much hit a plateau on our entertainment value.
No, that's not true.
Oh, I mean, we can have a shit ton more fun, but you won't let me play the fucking sound clips.
Well, yeah, because it's all the same. It's all the same shit of teeth in me, or vampire teeth in my mouth not being able to speak clearly. Or,
but it's
exhausted.
Me having a battle with gravity also. And losing,
yeah, but,
I might add. I did lose the battle with gravity.
Yeah, but yours isn't as pronounced as mine is. You have to listen close for your... Yours is like a Class C EVP. Mine's like a Class A. Holy shit, that's in my face. But enough with the comparison. All right.
You're listening to Full Spectrum Radio. Because whatever doesn't kill ya will simply make you stranger.
Siphon, you are absolutely correct.
I got to admit, man, it doesn't get any more accurate than that one.
No. No, not
but,
at all.
But what the hell? So at this point, I've actually been in contact with Chris Dedman. He's, I will quote his last, I'm in a big box store getting a few things, and I will call when I get out. So at this point, we're kind of waiting on Chris Dedman to give us a call in. I do want to throw out a couple of things. And I'm going to throw in some, like, you know, shameless plugs here. One, the Exchange Hotel and Civil War Museum. It's in Gordonsville, Virginia. Each year they do a... I'm trying to think what the hell you want to call it. I'm trying to find the name of it. There it is, the Trail of Terror and Depot of Death, Friday, October 4th. And at the end of it, I do believe you get the opportunity to actually investigate. I'm not certain on that, but they do it's a haunted location to begin with. I mean, the Exchange Hotel is just phenomenal. The history on this place, ex-Civil War hospital, currently a museum, in Gordonsville, Virginia. If you get the opportunity, you definitely need to swing through and check it out. But great place. If it gives you any idea, I had a chief of police tell me that it literally scared the shit out of him. So that in itself should say a bunch. Did I lose you, Matt?
No. I thought you were going to continue with your... You said you had a couple things, so I thought that was one.
Oh. No, I figured I'd take a break and, you know, see if you had any input on it, but that's cool. If not, then I'll move on. Henricus Historical Park. It's in Richmond, Virginia. It's actually a pretty cool place. Now, Henricus Historical Park was one of the defense locations for the city of Richmond back in the Civil War. They do have a lot of activity that's been reported there. They do investigations there. Just really... really cool place to check out. And if nothing else, you can learn a little bit of history about the Civil War just from, like, they do reenactors here and there. They've got trained, educated guides that will take you through the location. So there's my little shameless plugs for Virginia. Care to throw a couple out there for Illinois, Matt?
That's actually what I'm in the middle of also, is I was looking, you know that Chicago Ghost Conference 5 is coming up, and I am really, really looking forward to it. I'm trying to find the page of who's going to be there. Dear friend Ursula Bielski is throwing, again, this is the fifth one, but it keeps getting better and better every year. And I always told her it's better to actually try and find, or to add a tab onto her site that'll bring you right to the event. So that's what I'm looking for right now. And Josh Gates from Destination Truth, John Zaffis is going to be there. And give me about 30 seconds and I'll be able to figure out the full guest list and I can run through it. Chris Fleming is going to be there. Just a ton of different people. And if you don't know who Ursula Bielski is, you have to look her up. She is a phenomenal... What the hell is that?
What the hell is what? That?
I keep hearing stuff in the background. Okay, Yeah, that noise.
Yes, that would be Jack and Coke intermingling in my glass. I'm sorry, I'll hit mute better.
Ah. So, all right, I found the link. Chicago Ghost Conference 5 is going to be at the Irish American Heritage Center, which is located at 4626 North Knox Avenue in Chicago, which isn't far from the Porter's Theater, which is now shut down, and all of us in Chicago are really upset about that. If they're turning it into condos, good old fucking Chicago on that one. So yes, Josh Gates, John Zaffis, Stephen Broud is going to be there, Jeff Belanger, Chris Fleming, Dave Schrader, Tim Dennis, Michael Esposito, Larry Arnold, Christopher Caratino, but she's from Return to Amityville. I mean, just, you know, and plus a ton of other people as far as Dale Kaczmarek. Obviously, Ursula's going to be there. Scott Marcus, Dan Malone, Howard Heim, Buzz Freeman.
CPR Matt will be there.
Oh, well, fuck yeah, of course.
Well, you didn't say yourself, dumbass.
Well, I thought that that was pretty much a given.
Well, I just thought I'd throw it out there.
So, Dennis, if you can go to ChicagoHauntings.com and throw it up in chat, if it's worth it, because we don't promote chat. I don't know why, but we don't. Just more work for us, you know what I mean?
Sure. I can certainly do that, my friend.
I would
be
more
than happy. I would be more than happy to do that.
You're starting to sound like Jiggy.
I'll be more than happy. Which, by the way, Jiggy, if you're listening, you're still a funny son of a bitch. Just got to throw that out there.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the people who was a highlight to meet and hang out with was George Lopez. He was just down-to-earth, cool, phenomenal guy, George and Jiggy. I mean, everything was fun. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't any crap or anything like that. It was just, we hung out, had a blast. And the first time I had talked to George, Dennis, I don't know if you had before, was when he got in your truck. When we were driving back to the hotel afterwards, and wasn't it pretty much like we had known each other for like 20 plus years?
Yeah, you all definitely sounded like old birds that knew each other from the way back when.
And for us Northerners, that means, yes, it seems like we have been friends for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Y'all up there don't know how to speak like us and don't rightly understand much of what we says. But y'all do know one thing, and y'all can understand something like this, I'm sure, because it ain't hard to understand.
It puts the lotion on skin or else it gets fucking, you know,
Matt, bus.
Keep starting that son of a bitch aiming it at me and see how it works out for you.
I have never heard that before. But who is that and where'd you get it?
I just recorded it some drunk fest. I think it was at a pre-AA meeting. And folks, if Matt and I are ever lucky enough to be at the same location again and you don't hear from me afterwards, we'll know why now.
Yeah, that bus had pretty much run over his damn head.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Dennis.
I really wish the assholes out of Patient First were worth going to.
The what?
I said I really wish the assholes out at Patient First were really worth going to, and maybe they could have helped me get past my cough and whatever the hell's going on. But,
why would they do that?
Because they're so damn slow. After an hour and 45 minutes, I walked out. Maybe I'm impatient. I don't know. Maybe you were right. Maybe I read the sign wrong and it was Patience First, Patient First. You could have something there. Maybe they just named the damn place wrong.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. But hey, Dennis, let's do this because I know you have something to do and I got something to do. So let's take a, hold on, where is it? Let's take a 3 minute and 20 second commercial, and we'll be right back.
All right, I'm good with that.
Pretended that we still live with no regrets, we never bled, and we took everything life could give and came up broken, empty-handed in the end. In the heart of the blind, something you'll never find is a vision of a light. With your voice as a dead, I'm screaming.
You've heard that song before, but it's kind of infectious. Oh, Dennis is apparently screening and didn't let me know that. So I believe, but yes, that was, I've been kind of addicted to that song.
Hey, Matt.
I don't, yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I got a caller in with us. Told you who was calling in, didn't I?
Yeah, Chris, what's going on? You with us?
What's up, fellas?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How was shopping?
I'm doing a little shopping.
Well, hopefully you're in the good part of town, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a good deal. Now, folks, those that don't know,
I don't wander.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was saying I don't wander into the bad side of town after dark. I want the boogeyman to get me.
Well, I mean, I understand as long as you have a burlap sack, you're in good condition about that, though, right?
That's true. You can face your fears.
Such bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, all it takes is a paper towel and you can face your fear. I mean, a burlap sack, you can face your fears and everything's just fine, hunky-dory dandy after that.
Yeah, nothing's going to ever happen to you again. All your worries are free.
Yeah, no intervention needed, no follow-up, no nothing. Just put a burlap sack on and then it's all good.
You know, I bulled over it for a while. I had several people that were blowing me up because I'm a huge advocate about provoking and, you know, these teens going in and, you know, claiming to be professional, and they're going in and they're agitating and aggravating and you know, pissing things off worse than they were. And then they're just leaving and leaving the family there to hold the bag. And, you know, they watch a couple episodes of a show and they go out to the world's largest home ghost hunting store, a.k.a. Walmart, and buy a digital recorder and a camera. And now they're, you know, professional investigators. And that's how they sell themselves. And, you know, I've spent the last 3 years basically cleaning up messes. And it's a shame because there's families out there that need help that don't have anybody that are being taken away from because we're having to clean up the messes of what these so-called professional teams are causing. You know, everything's for TV, and people got to realize that. You know, I've been on several shows, and I don't have my own show for the simple reason once you sign that contract, you know, they own you. And my counter contract has always said that, you know, I do not give up 100% control of what I do in the show, and most producers don't like that. They don't want to have that conflict. But I'm not going to fake anything. You know, it's what it is. What it is. Either we get something or we don't. And of course, that doesn't sell ratings, and you know, therefore, that talk of that show usually ends at that point. But you know, I'm good friends with Jason Gowan, and he got into a really mess back in 2009 when he signed up to be on a show called Extreme Paranormal on A&E. And the way it was sold was not the way that it turned out. And he is just now, as of this year, able to tell the truth behind what really went on with that show. And that may be the case with this show, Ghost Bait. You know, some of these people that are involved maybe were sold one thing and then showed another. But the only problem I have with that comment right there is this show started out as an internet show, and it pretty much was the same thing that they were doing on the internet aspect of it. But in Jason Gowan's case with Extreme Paranormal, it was said to be one thing, and then once they all signed the dotted lines, it became something completely different, and the networks own you. If you don't fulfill that contract, they can sue you for millions of dollars. A perfect example, back I guess around the same time, there was a real popular show out called John and Kate Plus 8. It was on TLC with the, you know, the couple that had the six tuplets, and eventually the show destroyed that couple's marriage, and John wanted out. He said, I'm not filming any more episodes. I'm done. You've destroyed my life. And TLC said, that's fine. You can walk, but we're suing you for $75 million. Well, obviously, he didn't have $75 million, so he had to finish the season out. And that's how TV works. It's not what it's all out to be. And it's a shame. Shame on both ends that people are putting themselves in this situation thinking that they, you know, they got to be on TV, they need a show, and they don't read the fine print. But this show, Ghost Bait, it's literally taking families that are in crisis, that are living a nightmare, and it's putting them more into the nightmare to face what's haunting them. And, you know, there are people that are in therapy because of stuff like this. Families have been destroyed because of stuff like this. And I just, other than ratings and, you know, making a good show, I don't see the point of it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. But, I mean, black and white's black and white, people. You know, they're putting people that are dealing with something that's haunting them and destroying their lives in the situation to face what that is. And I tell people, my clients, when I do stuff, you know, look, you've got to take ownership of your home. You can't let these things take over. You've got to show that you're in control, that this is your house. You ignore them, you go about your day, and we work on getting rid of them. But to literally put them in a situation where it could come back tenfold, especially if it's something that could end up being demonic. You know, once you deal with a demonic entity, you're marked for life. It will, its goal in life will be to destroy you for eternity. That's what it's going to do. And I deal with that on a daily basis just simply because of a case I dealt with. And you know, it just makes me sick. It really does. It makes me sick in the pits of my stomach. I feel for these families. You know, this show is going in and doing this to these families. And where's the aftermath? Where's the aftercare? Where's the, you know what I mean?
Well, the aftercare is the part that pisses me off the most. You know, I referenced it earlier as, you know, if you imagine that it's your little brother getting his ass kicked every day by a bully and you go in and kick him in the nuts and leave, your little brother is kind of screwed. And
you took care of the problem for that second, but it's just going to come back the next day once the pain wears off, and it's going to come back even more pissed than it was before. You know, and to say, oh, you know, we follow up with these families afterwards, that's the part you don't see. Bull crap. You're on the road, you know, filming the next episode, moving on to the next episode. When do you have time to follow up with these families? You don't, you know. You're a single body team of this many members. And, you know, like I said, I stewed on it a while before I even put anything out. You know, people were emailing me and saying, you know, have you seen this? You know, what's your thoughts? And you know, less than I want to do is, you know, start a big uproar in the community. But at the same time, people need to be educated and need to know that, you know, this is somebody's life you're messing with here, and it can absolutely destroy their life. And it's not a game. And to think that it's okay to go in and do that, and, you know, that's going to be, you know, now this is going to be the next tool added to the paranormal, the ghost hunter. The ghost hunter's toolbox is going to be a burlap sack. You know, there's going to be those ignorant-ass teens out there that are going to think, oh, this is the new thing. We've got to start doing this. And they're going to set somebody in a room with a burlap sack over their head and tell them to face what's been scaring the hell out of them for upteen years or whatever, you know?
Well, I can damn sure promise you that will not be in my team's travel bags. That's a damn sure guarantee. There might be a burlap sack, but it's only for the asshole that bailed on us the last time. And, you know, then we'll see where we're going to leave him. And it's not going to be in the middle of a haunt, but, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
In the military, we used to call it a blanket party.
Yeah.
But, hey, Chris, let me ask you, do you mind if I throw the link in for this program right quick into that chat conference?
Yeah, go
on
ahead.
On that thread?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Excellent. But, yeah, I do wholeheartedly agree with you that what they're doing is just straight out putting people at risk that really don't need to be at risk. I mean, it's bad enough that they're already having to live with this nightmare. And, well, the part that I didn't understand, on the program, they're not actually doing a full investigation prior to determine whether or not they're actually dealing with demonic or residual or intelligent hauntings. and that just left me at a kind of a speechless point going, how can you, to me it would be just about as damn dumb as taking a toddler into somewhere like Bobby Mackey's and going, I know you're afraid of things that go bump in the night, but here, honey, walk through here. Oh, well, let's make it better. Let's put a burlap sack over your head. It just left me completely speechless that they're that damn dumb. Now, you may have a valid point with maybe that's not what they, what was it, Paracore or something like that, actually thought was going to happen. But the bad part is, this thing's going to get ratings.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Bio Channel was looking for a show that was going to finally put them on the map, and I think they have finally found that show. You know, my ghost story, the only reason why I even did the My Ghost Story issue was they had changed it to the new show, My Ghost Story Caught on Tape. And it was new producers, and when they called and asked about our story, I told them up front, look, I don't chase moisture or dust. And the guy kind of froze, and he was like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you all are known to be the orb kings within the paranormal community. You all think every particle of dust and moisture is a ghost or a spirit manifesting energy or whatever. I said, I don't play that game. You know, the evidence that we have for this story is enough to sell the story. We don't need to put anything else in there to make people logically understand what we're talking about. And we actually had great control over co-producing our episode. It's the number one episode that they have produced since doing the show. It's been replayed more times than any episode that they've ever done. And that's because it was done right. It was done with evidence that we provided that was real evidence that was legit and wasn't particles of dust. Now, if they would do all the shows like that on My Ghost Story, it would be a good show. But they choose to, you know, chase dust and moisture particles. But they've been looking for that niche, and I think this is the show that's finally going to have the niche. And you know, there's going to be so many people out there that aren't in the paranormal or are just going to think, you know, that are thrill seekers, and they're just going to think it's the coolest thing ever. But in hindsight, it's ruining, you know, who we are as paranormal investigators. You know, it's just another slap in the face to me, I think. You know, for the people that are on the ground, out in the field, helping families and doing the work, you know, giving up time with their own families, you know, haven't had a weekend off really in years because they're out doing cases on weekends, their days off. It's just, I don't know, it's just another slap in the face, I guess.
Well, and yeah, we're set up for slaps in the face left and right. I mean, it is what it is, and you just got to roll with the punches. Yeah. But at the same time, all right, as far as the orb shit goes, dude, honestly, if I, like, watching My Ghost Story Caught on Camera, if I see another group that goes out into a field and talks about how haunted it is because of all the orbs they caught on fucking still camera, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. And
exactly.
That's no joke. Like, oh, we walked in this field and, you know, we were stomping through it like fucking elephants. And then, oh, we pulled up our camera and we snapped a photo and look at all these spirits that are flying around. No, that's not. No, come on. Really?
Exactly.
It actually upsets me a little bit more than I, like, and I get a chuckle out of it, but at the same time, it's like, and you're going to go on TV and present that as evidence? Seriously?
And claim to be a professional, you know, paranormal group?
Yeah, you're in a forest, and you're stomping through, like, elephants, and you happen to grab a digital camera and snap a photo, and it's like, oh, well, they're all different colors. Well, yeah, because you stirred up pollen and dirt and, like, come on, really?
Wait a minute. You mean the different colors don't indicate, like, demonic and happy and... Oh, shit.
Well,
I've probably
you know
got a 5 terabyte hard drive now I got to clear because you ruined my orbs, Gary.
And, you know, and Dennis, you bring up a good point. And Chris, I'm sure you'll agree with this, too. An actual true demonic entity is few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the new fad, too. Everybody's got a demon.
Oh, yeah. But here's my issue with bullshit like Ghost Babe. You are playing Russian roulette with some poor family's, well, essentially their life.
Absolutely.
You know, even if...
Absolutely.
Even if you take only a 5% of all activity is demonic. Who's to say you're not pulling the round on that chamber and you're throwing that family from what has so far only been something mild, and now you've gone in and, you know, essentially kicked in the ball sack and just laughed. Who's
yeah,
to say that
yeah.
this isn't one of those 5% locations?
Absolutely.
I mean,
you don't know. And that's what I tell people all the time. You don't know that one time, that one case. And it may take a year. It may take 20 years before you get that case. But there's going to be a day. You'll walk into a home, and you'll wish you never walked in that house. Because what you're going to face and what you're going to see is not only going to affect your life, but it's going to affect the life of the members of your team, and it's going to affect their family and their children and their children's children. And you've got to be prepared for that. And that's what I tell people all the time. I have two definitions. A ghost hunter is a thrill seeker, weekend warrior, out to just have fun, running through cemeteries, abandoned buildings that are not supposed to be in, wanting to see something, a ghost, get a scare, whatever. A paranormal investigator is the feet on the ground, they're out in the field, they're working hard, their phones are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they're dealing with clients all hours of the day, they're studying new technology, they're reviewing 40, 50 hours of evidence. You know, that's the difference. And you stay in this field long enough, and it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then God bless you. You one of the lucky ones. You know, it's just a matter of when that's going to happen. It's not. Is it going to happen? It's when it's going to happen. And you better be prepared and ready to deal with it, because there's no turning it off. You can't just say, "Oh well, I don't want to do this no more. I'm going to leave." That's not how it works.
Yeah, this isn't being an electrician or being a plumber or, you know, something like that and going, you know what, I just don't want to shove my elbows in the toilet anymore. I don't want to play with electricity anymore. I may bring home something that is going to completely fuck up my world, and there's nothing I can really do about it other than seek out help from those that are actually trained and learned in it versus... If I don't want to be a plumber anymore, I just don't be a plumber anymore.
Yeah.
But
see, and that's a major problem, though. And what it is somebody who you can't, I mean, well, you can actually, which is funny, but at least around me, it's not like if you have a problem with your plumbing, you can go to Angie's List or you know, look in the phone book and find a different one. For what we do, it's pretty much just who actually spends the money out there to market, whether they're credible or not, they're going to be the first ones to come in. And Chris, you're absolutely right. Like, I spent a lot of time around here cleaning up people's messes. I hate to say it, but it's, oh, I watch a TV show. Yeah, you know what? I have some expendable cash. I'm going to go buy some shit and go into people's homes.
I mean,
like, just for the thrill seek.
You know, one of the first things that I always have thought about this as far as, well, from the time I started dealing with clients and going into their homes, I want them to be as educated as possible. And if they don't feel comfortable with me, I let them know right up front, you're more than welcome to ask me not to do anything, and you're more than welcome to continue your search, and I can give you some names of other teams. Even in my own personal life as a contractor for a living, I want to be the most educated I can be given the time that I'm allotted or the time that I can make to educate myself. And I want my clients to be the same way in that field and in this field. Let me ask you this, Chris. How much time do you spend trying to educate your clients when you first meet with them and they say, yeah, I got some weird shit going on in my house?
At least a week.
So it's at not, least. Oh, hey, my name's, you said Angie.
No.
First. I'll run on that one.
Yeah, no, I'll go meet with the client. I'll hear what they have to say, and then there's a series of things that I have this client do. One thing is I want them to create a journal. I want them to write down exactly everything that has been going on, and past and present. So they've got to start with the past, but they got to keep it updated. Because there's a lot of times that when people go to tell a story, there are things that they forget or leave out. And sometimes those things can be very important information that we need to know. So what I've learned is if you get the client to kind of sit down and start putting their story on paper or in a journal on the computer, that it helps them rethink of things that they would not have otherwise remembered. And it can be very important things, you know, that, you know, that's right, I forgot, you know, 2 days prior to this starting to happen, my neighbor committed suicide in the apartment next door. Or, you know, I can remember when I was younger, my grandmother was telling me about our family had a curse put on us. And yeah, those are things that are prominent things that we need to know. And then it's just a matter of educating them through that week. You know, this is what we're going to do. These are things that we're going to do when we're in your home. These are things that you're going to receive and expect from us. And in return, this is what we need to receive and expect from you. And then within that week journey, there's questions. And I tell them, you know, when you're sitting at home or when you're working on your journal, whatever, if a question arises, write it down. And then when we talk that evening, you can refer back to that question and stuff. And then once that's done, then we come in and then we sit down and I explain, okay, this is what we're going to do tonight. Here's the equipment that we're going to use. This is what the equipment does. This is what we're monitoring. So that they have a better understanding of exactly what it is we are doing inside their home. We're not just running around with flashlights and a digital recorder or whatever. You know, what is the purpose of that? What does it do? What are you looking for? You know, where I have to admit, you know, a long time ago, when we first started doing it, it was, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so, you know, I talked to you on the phone, which we got a pre-eval because we always sent a pre-questionnaire type thing. And it worked for the most part, but I just felt it wasn't enough. So that's when I started doing, you know, basically the week leading into the actual investigation seems to work a whole lot better, and there's more information that's shared by doing it that way. I'm not saying that's the right way and that's the way everybody should do it. That's just over the years. You, if you're not constantly learning something you're doing, then you need to get out because nobody knows it all.
Yeah.
So
that is one thing that I've been stressing is with a lot of people who are like labeled quote unquote experts and stuff. in this field, you can't be an expert. I'm sorry, there's nothing. You can specialize in something, but you are not an expert in anything because you do not have the answers because nobody does.
Yeah. You beat me to it, Matt. I was going to ask, so what is your opinion of an expert in this field? But you beat me to it.
Yeah, well, I'm good at that. That's why I'm always one step ahead of you, Dennis.
Oh. Well, I will say this. I will say this. Now, Chris, I'm going to go off topic for a moment. I will say this. Matt was definitely one or several steps ahead of me at ParaFest. When I turned around and saw Grant Wilson and Dave Tango putting shooters in front of me, or in front of him, yeah, he was much further ahead of me on that one than I was.
Now, yeah, that kind
of
happened.
We just did ScareFest here in my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky, and Grant and Steve and Tango were there. And out of the show, as far as people that were still doing the show, minus obviously Grant's left, I've always wanted to meet those three. Now, the reason why, and I'll tell you the reason why. First of all, I've done stuff with Dave Tango's dad, who is a phenomenal man. He is so awesome. Bruce Tango is an awesome man. And I actually did a radio show with him last night on Beyond the Edge. He was kind of opening up for me, but we ended up talking to stay on and do the show, me and him together. He's an awesome guy. And if Tango was half the man his dad was, I wanted to meet that. I wanted to meet him, and I believe Dave was sincere on the show. Steve used to be a cop. That's what I went to school for. I did it for a while. Just kind of wanted to, you know, we kind of had that mutual background, so I wanted to meet him. Steve is a very quiet man. He's really quiet, laid back, and obviously you guys met him at ParaFest, so you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people wouldn't think that Steve was. He's kind of shy, I guess that's the best way to describe him. You know, he's kind of set back. You know what I mean? And then Grant.
It really is.
But Grant didn't let me down. I always had this respect for Grant. I knew there was more to the story. I knew there was an underlining there. There was something about Grant. After the Halloween episode they did at Fort Mifflin with the whole coat tug thing, first of all, when it happened, you could tell on Grant's face that he was disgusted. You could tell that what just happened, he did not want any part of. There again, you signed a contract, they own you, you're going to do what they tell you to do. And I think eventually a lot of the stuff will come out once his contract is completely ran out. His gag order is up. Just like Jason Gowen with Extreme Paranormal, he's now coming out and telling what really happened. And I'm glad, because people need to know that side of it. If you watch the episodes after that incident of the coat tug, you could tell that Grant did not want to be there. You could tell he didn't have the passion. He didn't have he lost it all after that episode, and you could tell, you know, the darkness around his eyes started showing, like he was losing sleep, and he was doing something that he did not want to be a part of. And after talking to him at ScareFest, I now have more respect for that guy than I did before. And he's a real person. I got to meet his wife and his kid, and you know, it's just. And he's left. He's not in Rhode Island no more. He's left. He moved. He's not really trying to separate, you know, from what went down. And he's just a phenomenal person.
You know, and I would, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I posted something on Twitter and tagged Grant in it, that with somebody else had posted about meeting Grant, and so I replied to it, and we were talking on Twitter, and Grant said he's like, dude, he goes, stop by and say hi tomorrow. Like, when we met at Parafest and we're hanging out and everything and we're, you know, having a couple beverages, I can't say they were in the adult form, but it was suggested that he seriously is, like, down earth. He's completely passionate. One of the best people that I've met in the paranormal who've been on TV along with, like, Scott Grunwald and, you know, Jason Gates and Brian Kano from Haunted Collector and, like, you know, just everybody, Steve and Dave. You talk to him on a personal level, it's totally, totally different than what you see of them on TV. Not in a negative way, in a completely positive way. Like, they're just phenomenal, like, big-hearted, just down-to-earth, like, cool, cool people.
You know, there was Grant, obviously, was the big TV star for that show that was there at Scarefest, and then there was another big TV star from another ghost hunting show that was there, and completely day and night between the two. I'm not going to say no names, but I'm just going to say it was day and night between the two. You know, Grant was very open. He was very, you know, he didn't mind taking pictures and shaking hands. And even when the convention doors had closed and we were upstairs in the lounge or wherever it may be, he always had a smile and he was always willing to, you know, do whatever. You know, he didn't complain. He didn't nothing. But the other person, on the other hand, they've created this persona where women very much so want to touch and feel and be around this person, and that's because they created that monster, and now the lifestyle is starting to get to them. And I hate that because this person really is a good person as a person. I've worked with them. I know what they are, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I told you so comes into play because
–
you know, once you create that monster, there's no turning back. The damage is done, and you're going to have to deal with it. And it really was, I mean, there were women running him down and pulling out his clothes. And I felt bad. I really did. I felt bad because it was like, okay, I'm not doing the convention thing right now. This is my time. And he couldn't have that time. And it was. It really was a sad situation. But on the flip side of that, the other person that departed that show was also at Scarefest and also was being tugged at and grabbed and stuff, and he always had a smile on his face, and he always was very personable and outgoing with people. So it's kind of like it goes with the punches. You know, that's TV. You know, if you want to be the big star, then you got to take the good with the bad, you know.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I it's no secret of who you're talking about. Like, that's why I called it out. My dear friend, and, you know, Chris, I don't know if you know her, Ursula Bielski.
I don't think so.
Ursula runs Chicago Haunting. She was one of the guest judges on at Linda Vista, I believe. For Paranormal Challenge. So
okay.
She does a ton of stuff. I mean, she has three master's degrees in history, and, I mean, just phenomenal, phenomenal woman. And she's actually one. If I have to call a red card and say, hey, I need somebody, can you come? She'll drop what she's doing and come investigate with us.
Yeah.
So, and it kind of blows your mind when you walk into a house and she's like, oh, yeah, just this afternoon, and it was like 4 hours ago, and I found out what the history was back until 1320 before, like, the U.S. was even established. I'm like, what? How the hell do you find that? But she can. She's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But, no, and that's, you know, that's one thing is, and not saying that this is who you're talking about, but I'm going to reference, like, Zach, Nick, and Aaron. Is Zach is from Glen Ellen, which I drive through every day on my way to work.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he's local, and if you remember the episode they did at Bachelor's Grove?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he was talking about how he was from Glen Ellen and, you know, a Chicago fan and blah, 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 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron's kind of like the face of, the virtual face, if you will. Where
yeah.
He's more on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, like doing all that kind of stuff. And that's totally great. And I completely agree with you. Their presence, every new episode of Ghost Adventures that's on, they're on Twitter interacting with people constantly.
Oh yeah.
And I give them a lot of credit for that. That they're taking their time out to interact with their fans and, you know, talk to them and all that kind of stuff, and they retweet everybody's stuff, and they try and comment on as much as they can, which I will defend them. If you don't get a retweet or a comment, don't feel bad, because there's 10 million other people who are doing the same thing at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So don't feel like you're not appreciated, but... No, I mean, they definitely are out there for their fans. And if you read, that is one thing, is, like, talking to Zach in person and seeing him on the show, totally different people.
Oh, yeah,
on the show,
absolutely.
On the show, it's all edited down, but Zach is actually extremely knowledgeable when you read his books and stuff and actually have a conversation with him about paranormal. Totally different.
Not to, you know.
Yeah, but he, in the same sense of that, he's kind of made a monster. He's built this monster, and it's starting to really take a toll on him. And I hate seeing that for him, because he, as a person, really is a genuine person. But
yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you've made this monster, and now you've got to kind of deal with it, you know. You've built this persona about yourself, and you made yourself the ladies' man, and now, you know, it's almost like being a rock star in a sense, seeing what, you know, what they went through with groupies and all that. He's really getting a good taste of it, and I saw it at Scarefest, and it was, I really felt bad. I really did, for him as a person. You know, yes, he's created this monster, but, you know, sometimes it's like people just don't know when enough is enough, you know.
Yeah.
Not to turn this into a Grant Wilson, you know, great American hero show, but he actually did something at Parafest that I've got to give him kudos for. And the next time that I get the chance to talk to him, I'll definitely let him know. I had three young ladies who were standing right behind me. I'm talking to the whole crew from Trans Allegheny. You know, Rebecca, the owner, and I mean, they were all standing there. I'm standing back shooting the shit with them, having drinks.
Uh-huh.
Look over my shoulder, I see this camera get lifted up, and I hear, all right, smile. Well, I spun around, and I photobombed them. Kind of pissed them off to begin with. The one girl wanted to come and meet some of the people that were there. The other two were just her, like, you know, friends and tagged along.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, come on, dude, really? You're going to photobomb us? Well, keep in mind, I'm in, like, this raggedy-ass-looking costume. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm sorry. Here, let me do this. I'll take the picture for you. You know, my name's Dennis. And so what brings you to Parafest? Now, I'm thinking that, okay, now is a good time to find out what brings some of the locals or, you know, just the attendees to Parafest, and I can throw it on the air the next day during a broadcast. And she's like, well, I wanted to come up and meet a couple of the stars that were here, and, you know, they just wanted to come hang out with me. I'm like, well, cool. Who'd you want to meet, and did you get to meet them? She's like, well, I wanted to meet so-and-so-and-so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, did you meet anybody? She's like, no, I got off work too late. So we came in and all the booths were already shut down and everybody was gone. I said, well, who did you want to meet? And she's like, well, you know, I really wanted to meet, like, Grant Wilson. He's pretty cool. I'm like, oh, well, hang on. And I stand up on my tippy toes, look over the crowd, and there's Grant about 15 feet away talking to somebody. I grabbed her hand. I said, well, here, come with me. I walked over, stood beside Grant for a moment, let him finish his sentence. He turned and looked at me, gave me a big hug. He goes, hey, Dennis, how you doing, buddy? I said, I'm doing good, man. Grant, do me a favor. I got the young ladies. This is Evelyn. She came up to meet you. You had already left your booth, apparently. He's like, oh, man, say no more. I got this, buddy. Hey, thanks for bringing it over, man. I appreciate the hell out of that. He turned and gave her a hug and said, nice to meet you, and blah, 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 and just as down to earth like he had known her for years. And I'm like, that is integrity.
Absolutely.
I just thought that, you know, the way he handled that was so cool. I mean, he broke off the conversation he was having, excused himself, turned around and paid attention to, you know, the new people that came over that wanted to meet him. And now I don't know what
Grant.
The hell it would be like. Well, I mean, I don't know what the hell it would be like to be in a situation like that. You know, I don't have people chase me around and want to talk to me and all that crap. Well, I do, but usually they're in a badge and I'm running like hell. So, yeah, but that's beside the point. I don't think I'd be so open to talk to them. But I just thought it was really cool that he was that laid back and just, you know, took time.
You know, he really is.
I know you've got fans. I mean, I'm, you know, we've all seen you on half a dozen different programs and everything. And, you know, you got a shit ton of followers on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. What is the one thing that you would really want to get across to perhaps someone that's thinking about getting into paranormal investigations or thinking about dabbling into the paranormal?
I get this question a lot. I just got this question last night too. And I'm glad that it's asked because I travel across the country doing lectures and stuff about the dangers of ghost hunting, and mostly it's about demonic entities and possession and, you know, what can happen, and to kind of just, it's not to scare the hell out of everybody, which it generally does, but it's really to put a reality check into this is what can happen, and are you prepared to deal with this? So with that said, my one thing, you know, the one thing I really want people to do is to sit down and think about, is this something that I'm ready to dedicate my life and my family's life to? Because if you're serious about it, you're going to, whether it's, you know, not able to make it to a ball game because you've got a client that just called you in tears because, you know, her 18-year-old daughter was just levitated and slammed against a wall and they're hysterical, or is it, you know, an elderly woman that's being chastised by a poltergeist spirit, or are you ready to deal with these things? Are you ready to dedicate fully 100% to the field and helping clients? Because if you're not, then this is not for you. It's not a TV show. You're not going to get rich. You're going to spend a lot of money. If you do want to do it for the right reasons and you want to put 100% into it, you're going to meet a lot of good people, a lot of fabulous people in this field that are willing to help and willing to do things and teach you and lead you in directions and give you the insight and the do's and don'ts and whatnot. If you want it, it's there. And a lot of times I hear people say, you know, there's not paranormal unity in this field, and I call bullshit because there is. I see it every day. There are people in this nation that I can call up on any given moment if I've got a question about something that I just don't have the answer to. There are teams that I can call up on and say, hey, look, you know, I'm 12 hours from this client, but I really need a team to go in there and see what's going on to justify what it is before we pack up and you know, head that direction. And they're all willing and able and capable of helping, and they do. So for people to say it's not there, then they're doing something wrong, because it is there. But, you know, there are a lot of times when I do my lectures that I have people come up to me after the lecture and go, thank you. Thank you for doing that, because I really needed that eye-opener, or I've been dealing with this same situation and I didn't know where to turn for help. Or, you know, me and my mom were thinking about becoming investigators, and after, you know, hearing this and realizing the real side of it and that it's really not like it is on TV, I don't think we've kind of decided we're not going to do it now. Or and it's those things right there, those comments, or that one person that I touch, that's the reason why I do what I do. This is why I continue to do what I do, because if I can reach one person, then it was worth it 100%.
Yeah, and I think most of us that got into it, we got into it simply because we wanted to help people. I mean, that's, for me, that's why I got into it. One, I wanted to help myself. I wanted to help myself understand. Until I wanted, you know, little Johnny that can't sleep in his own bedroom, I want to be able to, you know, try to help him sleep in his own bedroom. If I can't fix it, I at least wanted to kind of understand why he couldn't and see if I can make the right phone calls to find the people that can help him to be able to sleep in his own bedroom. I didn't do it because
a lot of teams. Not to interrupt you, but there's a lot on that point right there. There's a lot of teams right there that won't do what you just said that you'll do. If you don't know the answer, you can't find it, or you realize you're in over your head, you start making phone calls to get help. And there are teams out there that they're too proud, or they're too good to reach out for help, and they not only end up hurting that family more, but they hurt themselves. Don't be that person. Don't be that team. If you've got a problem or something that you know you can't handle, reach out. There are people there that will help. You know, call me. You know, it may not be something that I talk about, but I've got a lot of friends in this field that I know I can reach out to, and I'll get you to who you need to help you. Don't be so proud or too, think you're too good that you can't reach out for help and try to do it on your own, because you're going to end up hurting yourself and the client. You just cannot be that way in this field.
Well, it rolls back to that, you know, expert. There is no such thing.
You know, but it really does come down to working within your bounds and boundaries and all that stuff, to where, like, for example, we'll go into a place, I'll document what happens, and I can direct to the right channel, but I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, I can solve your problem. No, I can't. That's the honest to God truth of it, is I cannot fix what's going on in your house. I can tell you what's going on in your house and give you possible alternate explanations of what is going on, but I'm not going to be the end-all be-all saying, hey, yeah, this is what it is, this is how you have to get rid of it. No. Don't smudge your house because I say so. I'm not going to tell you to smudge your house. I honestly don't know if that's going to help. But, you know, Chris, one question I do have is, what what was the defining moment that actually got you into this field for sure? Like, you know what, I have to look into this.
I'm sorry, ask that again.
No, I said, what was the defining moment that you said, or you saw, that you said, I have to get into this field, there's a defining moment for everybody that brings them into all of this, and what was that for you?
That would have been at the age of 15. I was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, filming the movie Gettysburg, and I saw a unit of Confederate soldiers walk out of a fog right in front of me. And in detail, I could see everything on them except the fact that they didn't have feet because they were dead. But it was that moment of, holy crap, what just happened? Why did it happen? And where do I get more? You know, and that really was what drew me into the field. I wanted to find out more about ghosts and spirits. And at that age, I really had an inclination of stuff. Ever since I was a little kid, you know, I had watched horror movies and science fiction movies and dabbled in you know, as far as research and stuff. But really not, you know, and I'd heard ghost stories, but I'd never experienced that until, you know, at that age. And it was just, I wanted to find out more. I wanted to find out, you know, what was going on. Now, a big factor in that was when I was a few years younger, I had an experience where I was in a tragic accident, and I actually coded on the way to the hospital. And I sat in the ambulance and watched as the paramedics worked on me. And then they brought me back to life. And a lot of what happens around me is, you know, has been told to me by several people, is the fact that I've crossed over and I've come back. There's a lot of spirits that know that. They know that, you know, I've been to their realm in a sense. So they kind of present themselves to me a lot, and the joke is, if you go with Chris, you're going to liable to have something's going to happen, because I'm like a magnet for it. I'm like Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. Yeah, I leave the light on for you. So it's you know, it's kind of odd, but I think that's what happened in Gettysburg. These spirits, I mean, 50,000 people died in that battle. You know, three days of battle. The deaths accumulated to the 9 years of the Vietnam War. I mean, you know, so there was a lot of lost souls that are there trapped, you know, in Gettysburg that need help crossing over. And, you know, I feel that's what it was. They knew that I had been to their realm, and maybe I was in a way for them to finally get peace or whatever. And I wanted to find out how I could do it.
Good. Hey, hate to cut you off on that. We got a minute and a half left. Throw out any plugs that you want to throw out right now.
I just, you know, if you want to find out more, you can check me out online. I've got, you know, my website's chrisdedman.com, and that'll link you to my Facebook and my Twitter and whatnot. Next big event is coming up at the end of October. I'm in Pittsburgh for HorrorCon. That's a brand new event. They're just starting this year, but it's already looking to be a pretty awesome event. And then I think I round the year out in Moundsville, West Virginia. I think we're going to do something there in November. And then it's off for a couple months and then back to hitting the ground running. So there's always something going on. I'm always in the middle of doing something. So.
All right, well, same time, same place on Wednesday. Dennis and I have our one-year anniversary, and not in a gay way, for Full Spectrum Radio. So
it is in a gay way. Damn, it's going to be happy as hell.
Well, yeah, all right. In that way, yes. But, yeah, no, if you have time to pop in on Wednesday, we're going to be here doing the show 1 year anniversary, Full Spectrum Radio.
And catch us at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis on Facebook and Twitter, ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com. Thank you, folks, and we're in the archive. Chris, please don't hang up, brother. I have to ask you this, man. You mentioned Gettysburg was your turning point where you knew that you had to stay in this field because you actually watched the soldiers roll out. Do you know who else told us that same exact thing?
I'm pretty damn sure Brad and Barry had the same exact experience in Gettysburg, who had the show Ghost Lab.
That's exact. And as soon as you said it, my first thought went to, holy shit, man, that's the same thing. And I believe it was Brad is the one that said he saw an entire battalion, I guess, of Confederate soldiers marching across the field. He said he lifted up the camera, shot them for a few seconds, and watched them vanish. So I definitely, now see, I'm not that far from Gettysburg, PA. I'm only in Richmond, Virginia. But I'll tell you, I've seen some shit here that makes me go, what the hell? But nothing that's defined that I can say I watched an entire, you know, band
oh, yeah.
of soldiers walk.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, that's
I definitely
exactly,
have to get to Gettysburg.
That's exactly what I've seen. You know, back then you could go into the park and it wasn't such a big ordeal after, you know, after dark. Now, thanks to 9/11, you go into the park after dark and it's a federal offense. They're arresting you for trespassing, which is a shame because there's a lot of stuff that happens in Gettysburg Park after dark. It's a very surreal, calm setting, but there's a lot of things that you hear. There's a lot of activity. There's, you know, death, gurgling screams. I mean, it's crazy. But we had snuck in or whatever, walked into the park right at dark, and we were walking across the battlefield where Pickett's Charge took place. And Pickett's Charge was just a massacre, basically. I mean, Pickett lined his men up across the field and charged right into the Federal Army stronghold. I mean, we're talking, you know, hundreds of cannons and soldiers with muskets just fired upon his unit and slaughtered them. And as we were walking across this field, this fog came in out of nowhere and completely covered the field, and we started hearing what sounded like drums.
Sorry, my bad.
No, we started hearing drumming like a drummer, you know, a drummer boy would do to keep them in step. Now, we knew they were filming a scene that night, a night scene over in the valley over for the movie. So at first we thought that's what we were hearing, and then we realized it was getting closer, and it got closer, and then you could start hearing the metal clanking. A lot of times these guys, they carried a thing called a haversack, and it was basically a man purse in a sense. And on that buckle, they would hang their tin cups. And a lot of times those tin cups would bang against the butt of their guns when they were marching in formation or the gun of the partner standing next to them. So it made a distinct clanking sound when they marched. And so we started hearing that, and you could hear ruffling and you know, or shuffling of the grass. And it was just kind of like we just froze. Just kind of stood there and was like, holy crap, you know, what, it's like in a very intense moment in a movie where you just know something's going to happen. And all of a sudden this fog just kind of backed out around us, and this whole battalion of Confederate soldiers walked right in front of us. I mean, I could have reached out and touched it. And you could see in detail, you could see the gun, you could see the bedroll that was rolled up and wrapped across their shoulder, you know, across their body, and the haversacks with the tin cups hanging from them, and you could smell gunpowder in the air, and you were just like, holy crap, you know, wow, is this really happening? And it was a very surreal moment. It really was. It was. It's that moment in your life where, okay, either things are going to change or they're not. You know, you're going to take advantage of the situation and find out why, or you're just going to blow it off. Now, there were three of us involved, and the other two to this day will not talk about what happened. It completely scared the living shit out of them. Excuse my language, but it did. Like, they don't deny it, but they don't talk about it. And, you know, it to them, it was a very dramatic thing that happened. To me, it was like, oh, you know, holy crap, that's cool. Let's, you know, I wanted to, you know, I want to chase it. You know, I want to, you know, so that's kind of the more I got into finding out about ghosts and stuff, I knew I was in the right place. Because I, you know, plus, you know, as I became an adult and stuff, I got into police work and then on the fire department. And, you know, when everybody's running out of the building, burning building, we're running in to put it out, which is the same with ghost hunting. You know, when everybody's running away from the ghost, we're chasing it, trying to figure out what it is and, you know, what data can we collect. So it kind of went hand in hand.
Now, when you saw all the soldiers come out, could you feel anything different change around you, like the energy, the temperature, did your body respond? Do you remember those things?
The energy was definitely high. I can remember not just the hair on my neck standing up, but, like, every piece of hair on my body was standing up, kind of like somebody took a balloon and rubbed it across your head, and then you kind of move it around your body, and that static electricity kind of pulls at you. Well, imagine that on your whole body all at once. That was the feeling. It was just I can remember it was hard to breathe. Like, it was almost like it was very thick, and it was hard to get a good breath during that moment. But nothing else existed in that moment. It was kind of like everything around you was silent, and all you could do was see this whole, you know, battalion of guys walk in front of you. It was crazy. It literally was. A lot of people say that's the Holy Grail. Like, I witnessed the Holy Grail of ghost hunting when I saw that, and I wasn't even a ghost hunter, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I had not near that. I mean, I didn't have, like, an entire battalion of guys walk out in front of me. I had one that I'm 100% convinced and kind of speechless by it myself because I saw it from 5 feet away. But it was a solid, full-bodied apparition that I could describe the clothing he was wearing and 5 feet away from me. And I wasn't on an investigation. I was actually working. If you ever have the opportunity, and Chris, I know you've got a few strings that you can pull here and there, but if you ever have the opportunity, check out St. Elizabeth's Hospital in D.C. Department of Homeland Security is now turning it into their office buildings. I want to see how long this shit lasts. Because I swear, it's the first federal insane asylum. And
really?
Yeah. I mean, look up St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Do a Google search on it. And I think it was Northwest D.C. Phenomenal place. I mean, absolutely gorgeous buildings. They started to build in 1855. Like I said, it was the first federal insane asylum. They had their own cemetery on grounds. They had their own livestock keeping area. They had their own crematorium. They had everything. It was designed to be a fully self-sufficient little village, basically. And I was helping do the remodel in this place. And I'll tell you what, Department of Homeland Security is going to have their hands full when they actually take it over as office buildings after the complete remodel, because some of the shit that went on there, if I could actually have, like, you know, evidence of it. I'm so pissed now that I don't own a GoPro that, you know, I would almost go pimp my dog out to get a GoPro just for places like that where I don't expect to see anything, where I kind of think I might see something. But, yeah, I mean, I watched him walk. I saw a guy in a fedora, a black suit, carrying a black briefcase out of a federal government construction site where it's mandated that you have steel-toed boots, a safety vest, and a hard hat. And he made it outside the door, and it couldn't have been more than 5 feet outside that door before I was through the door going, who the hell was that? And there's nobody around me. There's 50 feet in any direction for him to go, and there's nothing. I know what I saw. And it's one of those moments where you go, son of a bitch, I knew that $400 for that GoPro would have paid off. And I'm still kicking myself in the nuggets for not having a GoPro on at that moment. The best, I mean, that was awesome. That was like, you know, number one on the list. But one of the best things that I ever watched was the guy that I'm actually working with up there. Swears up and down, you know, I don't believe in any of this bullshit, you know, spirits and ghosts and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's fine that you do these investigations and you do all this research and everything, but I don't believe in them. I'm watching him at a diamond tile saw. Now, if you've ever used a tile saw, you know it's a diamond blade on it. It really won't cut your fingers unless you jam them hard into it.
Yeah.
He's standing there, and I'm about 10 feet off to his left. And I'm watching him cut this piece kind of intricate to go around the doorway. And all of a sudden, he jams the piece into the saw and spins around and looks to his right real quick, looks at me, and his eyes are the size of dinner plates. I'm like, dude, what the hell? You okay? Did you get your fingers? He goes, no, man, I just had a fucking woman scream in my ear. What the fuck? And I'm dying laughing at this point. I mean, his hands are trembling. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of had that myself the other day. What? I'm like, yeah, I was standing right here doing the same damn thing on the same exact saw. And she, like, leaned into my left ear, and all I heard was, rah! I said, turned a piece of tile into a piece of trash real quick. He's like, okay, that's it, man. I'm the hell out of here. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that aspect, that is one of the best things. But, all right, any last thing you want to throw out there, Chris?
Man, I think we've probably hit everything on the head tonight.
Definitely think so, brother. Hey, I do want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. If you have a few minutes Wednesday night, like Matt mentioned earlier, we're doing the one-year anniversary show for Full Spectrum Radio. Take 5 minutes, 30 seconds, half an hour, whatever you want to take. Feel free to call in. It's that same phone number, brother. Join us. We're going to see if we can kind of recap the year that we've been through, man. We've met some fantastic people doing this show, heard some awesome stories. Some of yours tonight were right up there with some of the awesome stories we've heard.
Sounds good, man. Just send me a reminder. My old brain, I can't keep up with everything. Just send me a reminder on Wednesday, and if I can swing in, I sure will.
Oh, yeah, I certainly appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, I'll shoot you a message probably. How about this? Does it work if I tag you in the post?
Yeah, that'll work.
All right. Well, yeah, no, I'll definitely tag you in the post. And, yes, seriously, Chris, thank you for taking the time out in your shopping adventures and for the last, hour or so you've been on. It means a lot to me, and I know it does.
No problem.
Too. Dennis, what are you sending the throat shit through the phone for? What's up with that?
What am I throwing through the phone?
No, Dennis is having like respiratory issues, and he's sending the shit through the phone. I was fine until I got on the show, and now you want to talk about paranormal.
Like, well,
damn,
I have had,
really?
I've had a shitty cough all week. And, you know, now I've sent it to Matt, apparently, through the phone.
Yeah, you have. Fucker.
Drink more, Jack. Keep more bourbon in your bloodstream, and it's much harder for a virus to survive. Damn, I've told you
one bourbon and honey.
Well, I've tried that, but, oh, no. You're going to get a good laugh out of this one, Chris, and it's just going to make me sound like either a drunk or a dumbass. I'm not sure which. My grandma brought me up with the bourbon and honey thing to soothe the throat and stop a cough. We didn't have any honey, so I tried Aunt Jemima.
Oh.
It doesn't work the same, I'll tell you that right now.
No. I think actually Crown has a new drink because of that now. It's called Crown Maple. I think somewhere down the line they heard your story and they now they have a new whiskey out.
Yeah, I'm not thinking I'll be a big fan of it. I didn't like the Jack and Aunt Jemima. But I definitely thank you for joining us, brother. It's been a lot of great points brought up. I love the way your mind works, man. You and I definitely need to sit down and talk about some more shit in the future.
Sounds good, brother. You guys have a great night. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chris.
And definitely, I have, even though we're in archive, I have a playout song that I believe is quite fitting for this whole conversation and everything. So, Dennis, you want to hit the mute on everybody, and I'll hit the song up.
And give me about 5 seconds. Everybody that didn't know, that was Chris Dedman joining us. Wonderful mind, fantastic in the paranormal world. Love the way he thinks. Love his ideas. Just overall a great, great individual to have on the show with us. And we're going to close out, folks. Be with us on Wednesday night for Full Spectrum Radio when Matt and I do our one-year anniversary show. We are plugging hard to get everybody that has joined us over the past year to at least call in and say, hey, that's everybody from, good Lord, I can't even start to name them all.
Everybody from everybody.
Yeah, I mean, just the list goes on and on. We've had Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum people join us. We've had people from Pennhurst Asylum join us. We've had Helmy Kramer, Daniel Hoven, Jordan Murphy has been on.
Chelsea
DeMolly. A phenomenal show.
Fucking,
Chelsea
DeMolly
has been with us. Yeah, just... It's just been a fan. We've had Dale Kaczmarek has joined us, Dane Ladwig. We're trying to get all these people just to call in just for a couple of minutes at least and just to show our fans that, hey, we do love you. We're trying to make this a great show for you. We'll see if we can make it even better in the next year. But thanks for joining us, everybody. CPR Matt. CPR Dennis, both of us can be found on Facebook and Twitter under those names. Find ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers at Facebook. Thank you again for joining us on Full Spectrum Unleashed.
Unleashed.
Play us out, my friends.
Yeah, no, this... You know what? I thought this was fitting for Chris with the whole conversation we've had and what he's been going through. So, but trust me, you'll like it too.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Let me do this one.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not going to do you.
Can't make